Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, December 29, 2017. Civil society leaders in South Sudan vow to seek peace at all costs.
If my leaders fail to do it at the highest level, we at the grassroots level, we can have a move to adjust things, to bring peace, to make sure that whoever is concerned genuinely about South Sudan, that South Sudan still have people.
And South Sudanese refugees say they hope 2018 will bring peace to their country.
We are completely tired. These things should end in 2017. It shouldn't go to 2018 again. It should be a new page.
My name is Stephen Opoka. My dreams for next year is I just want to be a better person, not the same person I always like left behind.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At the just-concluded high-level revitalization forum in Addis Ababa, members of the civil society told South Sudanese leaders as well as the regional and international community that they are paying close attention to anyone who might impede peace and stability in their home country. Some activists say they will work to establish peace even if the leaders refuse to work together. Ian Bior reports from Washington.
The leaders of South Sudan may have different ideas on how to achieve peace in their country, but civil society representatives at the high-level revitalization forum were united in their approach and ideas for moving their country forward. Civil society speakers like Sarah Nyanat Elijah sounded off on what they have witnessed in their country.
This year alone, I delivered two women, myself, and this is a practical situation that I went through. I delivered them without even a single gloves. So my faith even, leave alone a bullet would come. We know today there are diseases that you need to protect yourself from. I had to do it bare hand. There was nothing to cut the cord. There was nothing to save the baby's hairways.
Amer Manyok Deng, a representative of South Sudan's Women's Bloc, agrees. She delivered her message on accountability directly to the country's top leaders.
And I can speak on behalf of the voiceless South Sudanese women. Those resources, where they are, I think there is a need for South Sudanese leaders to think about where they have kept our resources, bring the resources back, bring the money back, so that the international community can support us to know that you are genuine. Because the money for the oil and all the revenue and people are suffering in the country, I think the leaders know where they have kept the money.
Simon Deng, who represented the business sector, says he believes the leaders of the warring parties have used the country's underdevelopment to further their own personal agendas.
Some of us has taken advantage of the illiteracy levels that are in South Sudan, and they have cheated the youth that we are going to fight on your behalf. But I tend to believe that our politicians and our leaders seem to care for themselves, because I don't think they even think about the widows and the sons and daughters who are killed fighting for them.
Convinced that leaders came to Addis Ababa with open ears, Rajab Mohandas, another civil society member, has hope that things in South Sudan will begin to change for the better in 2018.
The civil society has engaged with most of the political and military actors participating in this forum these past couple of days that we have been here, and they gave assurance that they are ready and determined to put the interest of the people of South Sudan above narrow party and power politics. This sounds positive. From the parties to the conflict, and the civil society is watching them on this commitment.
Civil society members are also bearing witness to the grim realities of millions of people across the country. The latest situation report from the World Food Program indicates that some 7 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance. The UN's Children's Fund reports more than 2,300 South Sudanese children have been killed or injured since the conflict began 4 years ago. More than 1 million children are acutely malnourished, including 280,000 who suffer from acute severe malnutrition. Alokir Malwalagwer, a representative of the civil society, had blunt warnings for her country's top leaders and vowed to hold them accountable.
Because if my leaders fail to do it at the highest level, we at the grassroots level, we can have a move to adjust things, to bring peace, to make sure that whoever is concerned genuinely about South Sudan, that South Sudan still have people who are concerned. It's reflected in the other stakeholders. When we came here, we don't have any interest of anything beyond the safety, stability, peace, development, prosperity for the people of South Sudan.
The regional bloc IGAD said it will take punitive measures against any individuals who obstruct peace in the country. Civil society members like Malwal say they are hopeful those efforts will prevail. Ayan Bior for VOA News, Washington.
One of the highlights of 2017 is the successful completion of phase one of the high-level revitalization forum, which ended with the signing of cessation of hostilities agreement last week. Four IGAD mediators at the forum in Addis Ababa had a tough time convincing South Sudanese stakeholders that peace is better than war. IGAD's special envoy for South Sudan, Ismail Weiss, was the lead facilitator at the forum. Weiss was backed by IGAD countries, African Union, and the Troika to press South Sudanese leaders to end conflict in their country.
The statements made by GMAIC, the region, the African Union Commission, the United Nations, international partners, set the tone upon the success of this first phase of the forum has been anchored. Above all, it is the beginning of the implementation of the most important decision of the IGAD head of state and government to revitalize the 2015 agreement.
Ghana's former foreign minister, Hanna Tete, is one of the facilitators who was firm during the talks. Various South Sudanese stakeholders at the forum applauded her for her tough approach in silencing potential spoilers during the negotiations. Throughout the 4 days of negotiations at the end of the phase one of the forum, Tete had one consistent message for South Sudanese leaders.
As we continue to press forward with this process, we would like to request that as much as possible, we give each other the benefit of the doubt. Because if the atmosphere of suspicion is not taken away, we are not going to be able to make progress and to move forward.
The Ghanaian diplomat praised South Sudanese leaders for agreeing to sit down and discuss issues affecting their country. Tete challenged the various stakeholders to look beyond their individual interests.
We believe that your country has tremendous hope, opportunity, and prosperity and can deliver wonderful things to our continent. And it is in that spirit that we want to believe that we will continue this process of revitalization until it comes to its logical conclusion.
Ethiopia is an historic country for South Sudanese. Several agreements, including the collapsed 2015 peace deal, were signed in Addis Ababa. Ethiopian Foreign Minister Wekni Gebiehu, who is also the chairman of the IGAD Council of Ministers, reminded South Sudanese leaders to expect drastic changes from the IGAD member countries this time around.
In the past, perhaps there has been a lack of genuine will or sufficiently robust mechanisms to ensure enforcement and compliance with those commitments. Now, this is available. I don't need to remind the parties that they have now agreed to numerous obligations.
South Sudan Council of Ministers today met and approved a report on the agreement on cessation of hostilities signed last week between South Sudan government and various armed and unarmed opposition groups in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lomuro urged signatories to the ceasefire agreement to respect and abide by its terms. Women leaders in South Sudan are becoming more vocal about the situation in the country. At the recent forum in Addis Ababa, more women leaders spoke about the dire humanitarian conditions in South Sudan. Pauline Riek is a South Sudanese who has been involved for many years in building the capacity of women in South Sudan. She says she will not give up on the search for peace.
I'm really personally very embarrassed to have to wash my dirty linen in public, you know, but the international community seems to be saying, we will help you as a young nation to put your act together. But peace can only come from South Sudanese. We are the ones who can make peace. We are the ones who have the ability to forgive each other and to move on for the sake of the nation, not for our own individual interests.
And do you have faith in the delegates who are here that they will deliver?
I have a lot of faith in South Sudanese in general. And I think that the delegation will be honest and they will speak. We may even have a good document. We may have very beautiful signatures. My problem has to do with the implementation of whatever we sign. If we agree to do something, we need to do it. And, you know, so that for as a person, I see the implementation as a real tinderbox. But if we are monitoring the implement, if there is no punitive action taken against those who are spoilers of our peace and our national progress, then that's where the international community have to come in to help us to put in place punitive measures so that when we mess up ourselves, if we cannot control ourselves, then others will help us, because we have become now an international problem. We are not just at home killing each other.
What kind of measures do you think will send a message to the leaders in South Sudan? They tried, the international community tried sanctioning a few individuals, and still we're not seeing peace in the country.
Yeah, I don't tend to put people in a group and say leaders, because there are leaders and there are leaders. You know, we have to judge people in their individual merits. And here I am talking about the armed groups that are doing the killings, the massacres, the murders. That must stop. The governance issue is another issue. And that can only be effective if there is peace on the ground, where we can move about as women, where women can talk about our nation, be a part of the nation, not be intimidated by anyone. So I usually don't talk about leaders, because how many of us are leaders? You know, we have thousands of us who are leaders, and I'm sure some of us are very good, and I'm sure some of us are warmongers. So, you know, you have to identify the individuals, what they do, and many of our leaders are trying to bring about peace. But if we have 19 militia groups that are armed, where are the arms coming? So when you talk about sanctions, for me, sanctions go beyond even South Sudan. The countries that are supplying us with weapons, we don't have those bullets or the guns, but they're being supplied from outside. And we're not talking about sanctioning those countries that are doing that.
That's Pauline Riek, a South Sudanese gender activist. She was speaking with me in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, last week. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Kenyan opposition leaders call for a national dialogue. Find out why after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
How some ladies think that guys are supposed to work for them and all that. We need some talks to these girls such that girls or the ladies can really work hard and achieve what they want to be.
Just to unite people, we work together, we share, and maybe sharing. If we work together, then we can remove poverty.
Put away hatred. No, because it has spoiled everything. Like, it has totally spoiled everything. Because when you hate someone, you wouldn't want them to prosper. It has just spoiled everything.
Marriage concept, like forcing somebody to marry who he or she does not like.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Kenyan opposition says they will go ahead with its plan, swearing in early 2018 of opposition leader Raila Odinga if President Uhuru Kenyatta does not convene a national dialogue to talk about what they call electoral justice. The opposition has a plan to swear Raila Odinga and his running mate as president. President Kenyatta won the October vote with 98% after his opponent Odinga boycotted the election. Some experts say this will create more divisions in the country. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Speaking after 3 months out of the country caring for his sick wife, Deputy Opposition Leader Kalonzo Musyoka said the only thing that can stop the opposition inauguration is dialogue.
I'm telling my brother Uhuru Kenyatta, if he's going to abdicate the responsibility of uniting this nation, he should not blame Raila Odinga na Kalonzo Musyoka tukisema tutaapishwa.
He should not blame Raila Odinga and Kalonzo Musyoka when we will be sworn in. The opposition boycotted the repeat October poll after the Electoral Commission failed to meet demands for reform. The Odinga and Musyoka team insist they won the earlier election in August, in which Kenyatta was declared the winner. That vote was nullified and the Supreme Court said the Electoral Commission did not follow the constitution and the law. Kenyatta won the October election with 98% of the vote. Political commentator Martin Andati says the opposition is trying to pressure the government to enter into a dialogue.
And if they are sworn in, that is bound to create a bigger crisis than they already in. So basically they are trying to up the pressure. And they are hoping that Uhuru and his side will be able to sit down. So that ultimately they go and sit on the table to address some of the issues that they are trying to raise.
President Kenyatta has repeatedly said the election are over and he is willing to discuss the development agenda of the country and nothing else. Andati says the elections may be over, but the issues that divide the country have not gone away.
The rest of the Kenyans who feel excluded from governance, from instruments, from positions of power, from allocation of business opportunities and jobs, they are out there and they are quite a number. So those are some of the issues that they need to look at. Uhuru has been the president of Jubilee, not the president of Kenya. So he must now reach out to the rest of the people.
The Attorney General Githu Muigai warned opposition leaders against swearing themselves in, saying that will amount to treason. A showdown looms between the Kenyatta administration and the opposition. Many fear the political confrontation may divide the East African nation even more. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
From Kenya, we move to Uganda, where Uganda is receiving an influx of refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo. The refugees are reportedly fleeing tribal clashes in Uthiri province in the eastern part of the country. A majority of the asylum seekers arrived in Uganda using Lake Albert. They are currently being screened at a landing site in Uganda's Hoima district before being transferred to a resettlement camp. VOA's Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
Over 2,000 Congolese refugees are said to have arrived in Uganda since last week. The refugees comprising women, men and children arrived in boats and have pitched camp at Nkondo and Sebigoro landing sites in Hoima district in western Uganda. John Stephen Ekom is the Hoima resident district commissioner.
As far as the influx of refugees is concerned, the issue is arising from a tribal conflict among the Lendu and Bagegere in Ituri province in DRC Congo, and they are now seeking asylum in Uganda.
The refugees say that back home, their houses were burnt and that they were attacked by people with machetes and firearms. More than 20 villages were abandoned due to the fear of reprisals. Ekom says Uganda's Office of the Prime Minister, or OPM, together with other refugee aid agencies, are currently scrutinizing the refugees before they are sent to refugee camps.
We have continued with the support from UNHCR, OPM, and Security District Security Committee has kept with the vigilance in terms of screening. So far, we have not got any issues of insecurity, and I want to encourage my people to work closely with these people because they are seeking for asylum.
He adds that a reception center has been set up at Sebigoro landing site to receive and screen the new arrivals. Meanwhile, a health team has also been set up at the reception center to ensure they have been treated and vaccinated before getting to the settlement camp. Dr. Frederick Bienume is the Hoima District Health Inspector.
As a medical department, we have been to Sebigoro, where they are receiving the people from Congo, and we have already done the screening. We are going to conduct a mass immunization of all of those children under 5 years who have entered Uganda. Then we shall continue giving them vitamin A supplementation for children who are malnourished.
The Ugandan authorities are anticipating a continued surge in the Congolese refugee numbers. Most of those arriving report that many more people are gathering on the Congolese side of Lake Albert, waiting for their turn to cross. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Still in Uganda, South Sudanese refugees who escaped violence in 2013 and 2016 are expressing disappointment at the way their leaders handled the conflict in their country. Most South Sudanese refugees in Uganda say they want to see peace in their country in 2018. Reporter Mungume Davis Rakarinj spoke to refugees who sound hopeful that next year will bring change in South Sudan.
I'm Korea Mawet from South Sudan. I think this coming year, 2018, will be a year for peace for all South Sudanese. This is what everyone wishes. We need peace. We are tired of war. That's why most of us are in Uganda.
My name is Agnes Jan Feliciano. My dreams for next year, I'm wishing a best performance in senior for secondary school. I'm just hoping South Sudan should be a good country, no more war, and people should be united and have peace.
My name is Akong Madong. I'm from South Sudan. So what I hope for next year is going to be have life, house for my country and life is a wall. Hey, peace for my country, and also for myself. Hey, what I hope for.
Hello, I'm called Ayen Samuel. I'm a South Sudanese by nationality. Then my dreams for next year is to be successful in my school. And also I dream that the crisis ends. Yeah, so things get better. We are tired, actually. We are completely tired. These things should end in 2017. It shouldn't go to 2018 again. Should be a new page.
My name is Stephen Opoka. My dreams for next year is wait for my grades when they come, join campus and pursue my dream. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I just want to be a better person, not the same person I always like left behind. Like for South Sudan, I'd only hope for the best so that like there is no more war and people get united.
My name is Wadang Ador. Yeah, I'm a South Sudanese by nationality. And my hope and dreams for next year is to see South Sudan is a stable state. And I hope actually next year there will be no any displacement. And South Sudanese refugees could go back to their country and normalize with their activities.
Well, I go by the names of Sarah Paul. And my dreams for next year is like I should succeed in my Form 6 exams. And according to my family, I just hope that they should be in good health, and for my country, being South Sudan, like I just hope like the war should stop, and the dollar crisis should end, poverty and all that. Like people should try for once and live in peace and harmony.
Hello, my name is Jack Leto Jervas, and I'm a South Sudanese. So my dream is for my country to be peaceful in 2018, because these previous years back we have been facing a lot of problems like war in South Sudan and all those things. So we hope for the better in this coming year, which is 2018, to be better than those previous years.
My name is Shagnam. This year has not been a bit good for me, but next year I think it will be good for me because I'm planning so much about it. Opened up my own business, I'll start employing myself. I have big dreams about it and it will be all good to me.
I'm Danny Lual and they call me Vadi, my football name. I'm a striker, I play for Zambia, SC. Okay, like my hope for next for 2018 is that I'm going to play for South Sudan national team, because what was holding me behind was my studies. I was studying. So since I'm done with my senior six, I have to go and play.
My name is Aokele Ian Simon. My dreams for next year are to get 4 aggregates and go to a better school in Uganda so that in future I can become an accountant in US. Because it's nice that side, the way I see the summer, the winter, it's nice. So I also admire to be in that country.
I'd like to thank God for bringing Addis Ababa to the year 2018. We are so glad that he kept us alive. We all hope for the best. I wish all the evil things happening in our country would stop in the year 2018. I believe the year 2018 will be a great year. It will be a peaceful year, and we hope for the better. I want all our leaders of South Sudan, Dr. Riek Machar and Salva Kiir Mayardit, to unite in the year 2018 and bring for us peace. Here abroad in East Africa, we are tired and suffering. We are all praying that our leaders, they should help us. They should bring for us peace so that all this suffering happening, the famine and all the disaster in our country should stop. We are not enjoying all this nonsense happening. We are not enjoying the war that's happening in my country.
Thank you very much. I'm a South Sudanese. I'm by name Shol Elijah Atong. I hope for peace in South Sudan in 2018. Yeah, there's nothing about myself, I should say. I just think I hope 2018 will be a year for peace in my country.
These are voices of South Sudanese refugees on the streets of the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Mungume Davis Rwakarinj collected those audio. That's our last show for 2017. We now leave you with the song No More War by South Sudanese reggae star Ras Corby.
Well, just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution, and must be a conclusion. Joe! Rastafari, just stop the war. No more war in Africa. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting the peace. No more war in America. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today. They're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide. Not even a single place to run. How can you say you're leading the world without love? So how can you say you're leading the world without peace? Circumstances meet people along the way. They need someone to turn to. Only Jah has the solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were creating the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself. Wake up in the morning, you see the sun down. And even times the rain will fall. Can you tell me what the mystical vibration you see in your heart? No more war in Africa. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting the peace. No more war in America. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat. Can't you tell me how much love you have for this world and creator? Take a look, let the children bound the street. Standing as the future generation. Don't leave them on their own. Who's gonna be in the future? Stand up. Don't let them hold you. Stand up. Rise about yourself. Stand up. Give them love. Stand up.
We have been listening to South Sudanese reggae star Ras Corby with the song No More War. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a peaceful holiday weekend, and we hope you join us again next year for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. From the South Sudan in Focus team in Washington, we wish you peaceful and new year.
No more war in America. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia. Oh, now, no. Hey, hey, hey.